Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Life is bad with you. 938. Whoa. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, time for the week in health. Always a treat when we get a visit from Dr. Kevin Most to talk with us. Welcome back, my friend.
Dean, how are you guys all doing?
Oh, don't ask that question. We're all a sick mess this week. I'm coming off of a bad cold and laryngitis. Shawnee and Andy are suffering with allergies this week. We are we're a petri dish of diseases up here this week. How are you?
Well, you know, Dean, it's interesting that you bring up allergies, and you know, Shawnee and Dave Andy, you said, I guess, right?
Yeah.
You know, we should know by now that this is when allergies hit, right? And especially if they're allergic to trees and tree pollen, this is the tree pollen season. And I guess something we need to keep hitting, maybe like in December, is, hey, you guys, we're coming into allergy season, even though there's snow on the ground, and it's a good idea to start your antihistamines 2 to 3 weeks, even a month, before you start to have symptoms.
Oh, really?
So, oh, yes. It's something that, gosh, I wish we really hit that a little bit harder, just because we really want to do is it helps manage the symptoms. Zyrtec, the antihistamine, Zyrtec, Allegra, Claritin, what they're doing is they're trying to take care of the symptoms that you have. Well, if you can block the release of histamine before you're even exposed to an allergen, you won't get those symptoms. Mm. So this is one case where this medicine not only is great for treating allergies, but it's also great for preventing the symptoms of allergies.
That's exactly what I want to do. Thank you so much,
Did
Doctor.
Did you guys know that you should start
this
weeks ago?
We just learned something here.
I've never heard that either. That's incredibly, yeah, incredibly helpful information. I don't know why Shawnee is stripped down and is wearing one of those gowns
right now. Shawnee, it goes the other way.
Yeah. Get a second one and put it on from the back, will you? The Nehru jacket's one thing. What we're looking at now is a whole other thing. I don't understand.
I should have stayed in Washington. I just
So they can manage their symptoms with this, but with me, I just got to wait it out, right? With the with the laryngitis, with the cold, I was tested for COVID. I was tested for everything. I'm fine with that. I just had a bad cold and laryngitis this week, and I have to wait it out. That's all there is to it. I've been doing a lot of fluids, you know, trying to rest my voice when I'm not on the radio for 4 straight hours. But that's really all you can do for this, right?
Yeah, you know, if you got tested for flu and COVID, those are the two illnesses this time of the year that we can potentially treat you with. And like you said, probably the biggest thing you do is rest your voice. So assuredly, you have some time that you have to talk, but the rest of the time you should just be lozenges, fluids, and not talking, because, you know, laryngitis is an inflammation of the vocal cords, the larynx, you know, where we speak from. So you think, oh, my arm hurts. Well, you're not going to go lift weights to make your arm better.
Right.
Same with this. Resting your voice is the biggest thing you can do right now.
Right, right. And I know a lot of people are going through, especially the allergies right now. That's all I'm hearing about from people who are coughing and sneezing their heads off. You know, one person sneezes in the office and, you know, you think that there's a COVID epidemic going on, but it's right now it's mostly just allergies. So get your antihistamines and listen to Dr. Kevin. Can we talk about this measles outbreak? Because it is a little bit out of control in the country, and how it's being managed is distressing right now of, you know, what we should do, what we shouldn't do. We're hearing so many different messages. What are you hearing about the outbreak, first of all, and where we are with this? It's not slowing down, right?
No, not at all. And your comments are spot on. You know, this is the largest outbreak we've had in over 20 years. So for some officials to say, oh, we have measles outbreaks all the time. Well, we don't have them at this size. You know, so we have over 500 cases in 19 states, Texas being obviously the biggest one, where we have this large group of Mennonites who have unvaccinated children. And everybody has to realize measles is either number one or number two as far as the most infectious diseases as far as contagiousness. If you're in a room with somebody with measles and you're unvaccinated, there's a great chance you're going to get it. Not 6 feet, not 20 feet in the room with them. So we have to understand that it's highly contagious. That being said, though, the vaccine works great when you get it. So the vast majority, 97% of these 500 individuals who have it, were unvaccinated for measles, mumps, and rubella.
So part of the controversy right now are some of the alternative treatments that have been suggested by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's in charge of Health and Human Services right now, and he is saying in an interview that vitamin A can dramatically reduce deaths from the disease. How does Dr. Most feel about that?
Okay, so I think there's two things that we really need to understand here. One is vitamin A in an individual who has measles now. If they have measles and there's a potential that they are low in vitamin A, then getting two doses of vitamin A will be good for maintaining, minimizing your eye damage and blindness. And it's not going to do as much as far as saving deaths. That number doesn't change, but at least the eye blindness and the eye complications will. The problem is that people hear Mr. Kennedy say this, and now they're giving kids who are unvaccinated high doses of vitamin A to prevent this. And what's happening is we're seeing now kids coming into emergencies and liver failure because of vitamin A toxicity. So people have to understand vitamin A should be only given to people who actively have measles and under the discretion of a physician who says, from a dietary point of view, I think two doses of vitamin A, and that's it. You're not taking it all the time. You're taking your doses, and that's the preventative part. This is not like a daily vitamin you're going to continue to take.
Right.
And that's what we're seeing now with the liver failure cases showing up in emergency rooms with little kids, which can be devastating.
It's also been suggested that by RFK Jr., giving steroids and cod liver oil to measles patients are getting very good results.
Well, you know, steroids are very good medications for some things. Inflammation, right? They're the strongest anti-inflammatory we know. Better than, you know, Motrin is called a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory. So it takes down inflammation, but it's not a steroid. So steroids are really good to take down inflammation. The bad thing about steroids is it also decreases your immune response somewhat. So you have people who potentially are going to end up with encephalitis, you know, conjunctivitis, pneumonia. Those are the individuals that if the steroids are going to be used, again, it should be under just very strict limitations from your pediatrician as far as what's appropriate and what's appropriate doses. Cod liver oil. Why is he saying it? It's high in vitamin A. So now you have somebody that says, wait, I'm going to go to the health store and get vitamin A. And he also told me to take cod liver oil. So now I'm essentially doubling up on my doses of vitamin A, which again is leading to these problems.
All right, let me take a break. We'll come back with more with Dr. Kevin Most. If you have a question or comment, 312-981-7200. 950. The one and only Dr. Kevin Most with us this morning. What a treat talking health. Following up on the measles talk, call from 630. Ask Dr. Most, is it normal for a 15 and 18-year-old to get lumps on the back of their neck and back of their head with pain following a measles shot? They have never been vaccinated before.
So they had never been vaccinated, got vaccinated, and now have lumps. So what happens when we get any vaccine, it turns on our immune system. And our immune system actually is, part of it is the lymph nodes. If you ever had big swollen lymph nodes in your neck people call them swollen glands in their neck, it's because of the body's reaction. So it's not uncommon for kids, even young adults, to get a response like that where they get something called lymphadenopathy. Those should go down. Why are they uncomfortable? Why are they tender? It's like if you tried to put 10 pounds of potatoes into a 5-pound bag, as it stretches, you're going to get some discomfort, just like you do when you get strep throat or any other infection. So good that you got vaccinated, even at the age of 15. You have to remember that these vaccines are usually done the first dose between 12 and 15 months and the second dose between 4 years and 6 years old. But if you noticed, oh, my gosh, I wasn't vaccinated, getting them now is appropriate, and you may get a little bit of a fever, and you may get some swollen lymph nodes from that, but those will go down.
Here is Kathy. You're on WGN with Dr. Kevin Most.
Hi, doctor. Thank you so much for being there. My question for you is, I had some weird symptoms about a week ago, and it started first when I woke up with a very swollen right knee, and it took a couple of days for it to go down. I hadn't bumped myself, hurt myself in any way, but then a couple of days later, my left knee had the same symptoms. The same pattern happened a couple of days later, and then I noticed that one of my ankles had the same thing, and then 36 hours later, one of my wrists had the same thing. And then a couple of days later, my other ankle had the same symptoms. And it's been going on like that for about a week. I haven't had any fever. Other than that, I've had some numbness and tingling in those areas. And I've also started to notice that my fingers are a little swollen and also numb. Do you have any idea what that could be?
So, Kathy, when you have something called like arthritis, right? The word arthritis just means inflammation of a joint. So there are very many causes for arthritis, everything from rheumatoid arthritis to psoriatic arthritis, but it's an inflammation of the joint. You can have arthritis from going and running, and your joint gets swollen, and you essentially have arthritis. So when you talk about this, where it is moving, I certainly would get into your doctor, have him do some blood tests, make sure it's not rheumatoid arthritis, make sure he looks for a couple, he'll do some blood tests, the fed rate, to see why your inflammatory process is turned on. And then the other thing I would do is take simple anti-inflammatories, Advil, Motrin, not Tylenol. Tylenol is a pain medicine. The other medications to see if that brings down the inflammation. But it's worth getting into your doctor right now because there are so many other options for treating arthritis besides medications that can impact your stomach and impact your health a little bit. But it certainly sounds like you have some form of arthritis. It's just a matter of now of narrowing it down to which one it is.
And spreading.
It's not what I would say, something called, you hear about osteoarthritis. Osteoarthritis is when the cushions between your joints is gone because you've aged. That's not going to go away. Where the other, like rheumatoid arthritis, you can get flare-ups. Psoriatic arthritis, you can get flare-ups where they'll go from different joints. That's probably more along the lines of what you have. And it certainly would at least get in to see the doctor.
Yeah,
sorry,
in different parts of the body like that. I mean, like sort of spreading around different parts of her body.
Yes. Some of those arthritis, you have to remember, what it is essentially the body's immune system is now turned on itself. In other words, it says, I see something foreign, and therefore I'm going to cause this swelling and discomfort. So sometimes what we're doing now is using medications that turn that portion of it off. And I don't want to say you're going to get a cure, but you're going to get really close to a cure with some of these medications. So the symptoms won't come back, and you'll be much more comfortable.
Kathy,
now, when you say the body sees something or feels that there's something foreign in it, does that mean antibiotics might be called for as well?
No. Antibiotics are good for bacteria, only for infections. What this is the body unfortunately says, wait a second, I look in my knee, and now all of a sudden my immune system is turned on when it doesn't need to be turned on. There's nothing foreign there. There's nothing unusual there. It's just the immune system is firing for no reason. So what we need to do is turn that firing system off because it doesn't need to be on. So it's looking and it's seeing something that it doesn't like, when in fact it's normal. It's kind of like if you think about someone who gets a kidney donor, they give them anti-rejection drugs. Why? Because the body's going to see that kidney and say, well, it's a kidney, but it's not my kidney, and therefore I'm going to try to get rid of it. Same thing with some of these arthritises, where it turns on this immune system where it says, hey, I don't like what's going on in this joint, and then it calms down and goes away. But it's nothing that you're gonna, antibiotics aren't going to do anything. Some anti-inflammatories will. But certainly get into your doctor, have them do some of the blood tests, and you're going to get a much more definitive answer and a much better treatment process for what you have going on.
Yeah, good luck to you, Kathy, on that. That sounds very painful. Almost all the calls on our text line, Kev, are about measles. And almost all the questions are who should get a measles vaccine right now. Is that the best course of action given this outbreak?
Yeah, Dean, it's actually, I was kind of surprised that we almost didn't lead with that. So it's very interesting, depending on the age of your listeners right now, if you were born before 1957, chances are that you have natural immunity. You were covered. You were exposed to measles. You got measles. You may not remember it. Your parents may not have written it down, but it looks like most likely you had it. If you were born between 1963 and 1968, the vaccine at that time was not ideal. So a lot of people are saying, you know what, that vaccine at that time, so if you're between the ages of, what is it, 57 and 62, you may, and you're going to be around little kids, it may be a good idea. But for the most part, you don't need another, especially if you have documented case that you have it or that you got the two shots of the virus. That being said, with this going on right now, doctors are saying, hey, you know what, college students, might not be a bad idea to get another one. Healthcare workers, for all of us that work in hospitals, we get tested. So they do a blood test for us to make sure that we have immunity. And if we don't, then we need to get it. And then anybody who's traveling internationally, because you have to remember that our vaccine policies here are totally different than the world, and especially with the outbreak we have right now. So if you're going to be around someone who's immunocompromised, if you're a college student, it would not be bad to get another one. There's no harm in getting another measles shot. But you got to remember that if you're surrounded by people who have been vaccinated, the chance of this spreading dramatically is not bad.
Dr. Kevin Most, always a pleasure. We really appreciate when you can join us. It's wonderful to hear your voice, my friend. You take care.
Take care, Dean. Rest that voice.